Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We're the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And I want to say a shout out to all you people that live in countries other than America that contact me regularly. I do appreciate you. I know our friends from America are dwindling around the world very quickly, and I think for some good reason. But we appreciate your support here. We're all partners in freedom, and your freedom comes from God. It doesn't come from some second-rate banana republic government that you may have made the mistake in electing. Enough of the commentary. We have Stephen Bannoun with us, and we're going to get into a number of topics, including the war. And if you don't know about Stephen, he's got a tremendous intelligence background. So he's a very valued guest by a lot of people, and we're fortunate to have him on. But first thing to let you know, we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios and the banks. If you think the economy can go off the cliff like it is without the banks following, and you got to consider Dodd-Frank 2010 says they can keep your money or they can bail you in and give you a percentage of your money, best case scenario, why would you give them the chance? Well, you say, well, Dave, I got to do some banking. I agree with you. You do. Let Noble Gold help you set up things like they did for me. I've been a customer for 9 years and I've bought all my gold from Noble Gold. I couldn't recommend them more highly. Call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And if you forget the number, I know it used to be 7 digits to remember. That's what short-term memory is. They took it to 10 with the area codes. So sometimes you forget. All you got to do is go to davehodgesgold.com and get the process started that way. Well, Stephen, it's good to have you on and give us a real quick background on your intelligence association. So people, if they haven't heard you before and they've been in a closet somewhere, tell them your background so they know what they're getting is pretty authentic.
Well, what my background is from 1983 to 1991, I was working with the CIA, and we dealt mostly with Nicaragua, things like that, going down on in Central America. But also, they were doing a lot of domestic work that we're not supposed to be doing. But that was for very nefarious reasons there, because they were trying to cover up all the money laundering from all the drugs that we were allowing back in the United States. And of course, it wasn't just in MENA, Arkansas. MENA, Arkansas is one of those places, but also all along the Gulf Coast, there were different areas that they were shuttling that drugs in and things like that. So I was very involved with them for those 7 years of my life, and it was a very, very rocky roller coaster type of ride. And then I finally got out of that, fortunately, and went into business for myself for the next 25 years. Sold that, spent time in Europe, Israel. I studied Hebrew for almost 40 years of my life.
Wow.
And so I have a lot of connections, though, through Israeli government sources, and a very good connection with Iran as well. And so I just kind of follow the pulse of what happens throughout the Middle East is really what I like to follow, as far as the main aspect of it. And the fact that I did what I did, it kind of gives you a little bit of inside door to some of the contacts that I can still. Most everybody I know is either dead or retired or something like that at this point. But because I
But
was the
you get the
youngest
second
guy at the time.
generation though, don't you? Yeah, and their affiliates. See, that's what happened for me. My dad and I had his contacts that were still alive when I started doing this, and they're more than willing to talk to me because they knew me as when I was an infant. And then my best friend, as a kid growing up, we were on different bases together, and his dad was my dad's commanding officer on a lot of special projects. We stayed best friends, and he works in a real sensitive position, and I'm not going to say which one. And I'm still getting info. And then his sources he introduces me to, and it's just it's I understand what you're saying. You don't have to be in the agency last year to understand what's in the agency. Once you're in the club, you have associations with the club. I got a friend too who's real high level military, and I mean almost as high as it gets, and he's been out for a while. But we have conversations with people that are in the Pentagon. So, Stephen, you're exactly right. But, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to establish here, and we just did that, is you're getting really good information from someone who has access to inside sources. And a lot of times when he says things, I'm hearing the same thing, and I go, bingo. We used to be on John Moore's show together on RBN. It's a great show in the mornings on RBN. And Stephen would say something, I go, I know that. I'm hearing that from somebody else. Well, let's jump into a topical area here. Okay. My audience knows that I am fundamentally opposed to the war. And Stephen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm really upset about this. And I shouldn't even have to say this. On my German ancestry, we have Jewish people in our background. I don't know what my percentage is. Okay. I'm not going to do the DNA test to find out. And then my best friend, my freshman year playing basketball in college, was a kid that was Jewish, last name Cohen, and we were like this. We were best friends, and I got some awards that year, and it's partly because of his help. And we stayed friends for decades. So I don't want to hear this anti-Semitic crap because I'm opposed to the war. In fact, actually, on October 7th, after that, when Netanyahu had his people blowing up the pagers of Hamas leaders, this is a great thing. Look at what Israel can do. That's awesome. I was there, but I am not there now with their government. Not their people, their government. That's my position. I'm opposed to this war wholeheartedly, and we're ruining our economy. We're fracturing world support for us, and this is actually wrecking the global economy too. I mean, so that's why I'm opposed. Where do you stand on this? Maybe we can do a contrast.
Well, to begin with, I am opposed to it, and mainly, even though, for example, that we had this huge humanitarian crisis in Iran, where the government, killed a lot of protesters. Very much Mossad incited in order to try to overthrow the government, so they kind of pretty much started this bloodbath for them. But nonetheless, that still did not give us that right to really go in and overthrow a government. But yet, what's odd about that, though, is that, with that taking place, you couldn't help but wonder then, well, if that be the case, then why didn't we go in and stop Israel from bombing Gaza into oblivion? Because what's the difference, as far as that take on it there? But Dave, even though I am dead set against this war, I think even like Charlie Kirk, I think that's what cost this man his life, that between that and his questioning of October the 7th and his political influence that he had in America, I think that's kind of went hand in hand. But I just this morning, before going on with you, I was looking for your email, and a guy named John sends me this email, and he says, I don't know if you know this information or if you could use it, he said, but after seeing that many news politicians have been claiming Trump has not gotten Congress approval for war, he said, can I inform you, Congress has approved and declared war on Iran over 2 years ago, and they did so using the deceptive wording in a House Resolution 559. On November 1st, 2023. I didn't even know that. Of course, I'm not the big political following all these different resolutions that are passed, but that's worth looking into.
Holy
And he
cow.
says he believes that it was because Biden was about to go to war with Iran. And again, we know that Biden was, as I wanted to say when I was in Washington, D.C., and I asked if I could go by and meet with him. And I was told, what would you want to meet with Biden for? And I said, well, I just want to congratulate him. I said, my dad's got dementia and trying to run a major corporation, and he's got dementia trying to run a corporation as well. And I said, they neither one of them get it right. So, but anyway, I got blacklisted for that comment.
Well, I think
So,
that's,
nonetheless,
you're
though.
giving me new information. Resolution 559, that was November of 23.
Yes, it was November 1st, 2023. Resolution 559, and it was slipped into that one there to be able to go or to declare war on Iran, that Congress had already done it.
Was it like a permissible resolution, like you may go do this?
That's a good question, and I don't even, he doesn't go further than that. And I, because Dave, I looked at this probably 10 minutes ago.
Okay, I'll do a research on this when we're done. That's truly stunning, but I'm going to give you a potential escalation, and then I want you to correct me using your expertise and background, okay? This is
Okay.
my concern right now. No nation's ever been bombed into submission. So I knew the naval and aerial bombardments would not work, okay? It wouldn't bring about a regime change or anything, okay? And Israel has to know this. So your next step is to put spec ops in, at least try to free up the Strait of Hormuz. But the underground structures are so formidable and numerous that that may not meet with success. Okay. And so your next step is to put in ground troops. And this is where it gets hairy for the US citizens. Now you're going to have a draft to support the effort. And you're committing to at least a 6 month war because you're going to a draft. And if the ground aspect doesn't work, and it would be hard in Iran because of terrain and 92 million people, okay, then you got to use tactical nukes. Now, Russia and China, all of a sudden things will start happening there and it could get really ugly. Okay, correct me on my progression there.
Okay, here's the thing. Everything that you said is correct in the way that they would actually go about doing this. And I think, Dave, the most important thing that you mentioned, though, is the terrain of Iran, but not only the terrain, the size of Iran, the resolve of the people of Iran. It's kind of like back up to Israel on October the 7th. The day after, I had so many Israelis that I knew that were reaching out to me, inside job, and but within a week's time, they had all silenced their voices and unanimously had joined in to the fight against Hamas because of all the atrocities that were being perpetrated, even though the evidence was so overwhelming that this couldn't have happened. I mean, if you lived in Israel, you don't stand down for 6 to 8 hours, period. It just doesn't happen. And so if we look at the same situation that's going on with Iran, and granted, my best source where I knew every move of Soleimani when he was doing it, I knew when he was having meetings with the Saudis when the United States government didn't know he was having meetings with the Saudis. This man here was all for the mullahs, as he calls it, being overthrown, the Khomeini, because they wanted to go back to the days before 1979. But realistically, only from 1954 to 1979 was the country really like that, because even before 1954, they were still under a religious type of scenario. It's just they had a brief window of freedom. But with that being stated, when all this bombing began to happen, Khomeini was killed. I call him up on the phone and I said, "Well, are you happy? I mean, myself, I didn't like the idea of them being bombed, mainly because his innocent lives are going to be lost." He says to me, he says, "No." He said, "Maybe I should be." He says, "But how can I be?" And I said, "Why would you say that?" And he said, "Steve," he says, "they don't care who they kill." He said, "I've had family already killed because of this war, and because Israel and the United States could really care less who they kill on the ground."
That's true.
And he said they have one objective, and that's to overthrow the government and whatever Israel wants them to do. So then, the whole thing began to change, and this is the part of the answer to that question there. What happens now? Iran is doing the same thing that Israel did. Now the people are galvanized together because so many innocent people have been killed, starting with 160 girls in the school there, even though it was a military school. I think Israel gave the intelligence, is just my conjecture, but I think they gave the intelligence so that we would do it, so that we would have blood on our hands, but at the same time to try to hurt the high-ranking officers by having so many of their children killed in those blasts there. But it did just the opposite. Now they're
Yeah,
galvanized.
Stephen,
Now you're building the
I
wall.
want to address that just for a second before you go on.
Okay.
What you're saying has historical precedence. In the London Blitz in World War II, when the bombing was going on and people were running to the shelters and so forth, and there was terrible death and destruction, alcoholism and suicide went to almost zero during that time in London. And you can't bomb people into submission, and it galvanizes the people for the purpose. And you're absolutely right. Historically, you're proven to be right in your conclusion. So now we've created a more formidable enemy, haven't we?
Yes. But here's what's really bad, though. Dave, going back, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, and I think I found the video. I just got to go through it now to be sure. I had already said that when, of course, we were already in war with Ukraine. We were supplying. Russia knows what we're doing. As Putin said, for example, when they had the shadow bombs hit in Russia, he says they can't, he said the Ukrainians have no ability or technology to be able to launch those without British help. So, blah, da, 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 da. Then I was told that you're going to see that we're going to end up in a war with Iran. Once we end up in a war with Iran, it'll escalate with Ukraine. When it escalates with Ukraine, it may go outside the borders. It'll cause us to be on two fronts. Once we're on two fronts, China will take down the island, Taiwan, sorry. They'll take down the island. But here's what he told me, though, that was really stark, really dark, I should say, and something we're already seeing. He said when a war with Iran breaks out, he said they're going to target the U.S. military bases over there, and they're going to wipe them out. And when they wipe those U.S. military bases out, and that war is really going where it's not should have gone, or it's not going where they wanted it to go, he said, then they're going to pressure, the Arab nations are going to pressure that the U.S. leave the area and never return. He said, that's where we're going to take a
I've
big hit
heard
at.
the exact same thing from my best source, that the strategy right now that Iran's employing is to attack the Arab coalition that's supporting Israel and the US for that very purpose.
Yes. And the point is, here's what's really cold. Who's really behind it? It's Israel. The way he put it to me, even before October the 7th, a year before it happened, he said there's going to be an event that's going to happen in Israel. Well, actually, he said the Middle East. He didn't say Israel. He confirmed it after it happened, though. He said that it's so dark and so chilling, and what they're going to do is going to be so horrible, it'll actually spiral the world to the Third World War. And when it happened, at this point, the source that I had there in Washington, he was already getting close to death. But I asked him, I said, is that what you were talking about? He said, yes. He
You're
said, but
talking
you
about
have no
October
idea what you're
7th?
talking about. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now, same thing though. One day I reported about I was it was back when the Chinese had gotten the they rebuilt the port of Haifa, and when I was doing the digging on it, they had no there was no bidding for that port. Haifa just got it. I mean, excuse me, the Chinese got it hands down without any opposition. And now they were going for Ashkelon, the port at Ashkelon. And so I made a big to-do over that. And I get a phone call from the Israeli side, and they said, "Can you back off of China?" And I said, why? I said, what is it? Because at that time I was still semi-pro-Zionist. I hadn't come out of Zionism completely, and I was very infuriated that, that Israel is the politicians are just allowing China to do anything and everything they wanted. And I was told then, they said, China, just like the friend in Washington had told me, China will be the next world superpower because we're done with America and we're dismantling America step
Who's
by step.
the we? Who's the we being done with America?
Israel. Israel was done.
You know,
And
I
that all
will.
they were doing, well, you got to keep in mind, Dave, I spent 20 years in the Chabad organization. All right. That's for those that are listening that don't know who Chabad is. Chabad is the most politically motivated Jewish group, largest in the world. 6,000 offices globally and over 100 countries and control every political sphere there is. If you look over there, you see Putin, he's surrounded by Chabad. Trump's surrounded by Chabad. And I'm talking about rabbis. Okay. Zelensky surrounded by Chabad. Every major global power. China, which a lot of people don't realize, has been controlled by Chabad for more than a well over 100 years.
With China's ethnocentric ways, how do they accomplish that?
They had actually infiltrated the country going back to the 1500s, and they installed certain prominent Jewish families that rose to power and influence economically to control all of the most strategic parts of China. And I actually stumbled across this recently, someone that had done really in-depth research on this, because I used to think the same thing. I know that when I was in business for 25 years, I developed several machines that were very, very high tech design and very expensive to build in America. And Roger Levine, he is a friend of mine, he owned New Haven Moving Equipment, which was the largest moving equipment company in the world. And he says to me, he flies down to come see me, and he says, "Steve," he says, "let's build this at my plant in China." And I'm like, "I don't want to build it in China. So what do I want to do? Let's build it in America, help American people, you know?" And he says, or I said Israel at the time too, you know, we could help the Israeli people. And he said, "Steve," he said, "look," he said, "we're done with America." He said, "All of our companies, all of us have moved our operations. Other than what we do, we just sell things." Now, I didn't think about it back then, Dave. I began to put some of these pieces together as the years go by. This is why all the and it's not just Jewish, but predominantly Jewish families that had large businesses in this country, manufacturing things like that, all that processes went over to China. Why? You have to understand the mindset of the Jewish people. I used to sit with these doctors and lawyers and stuff when I was in Chabad organization, talking about how that there's blood libels. Christians have to pay for the crimes that they've done. Well, in the Jewish mindset, the Orthodox Jewish mindset, all you got to do, look up this. There's one rabbi, he's a Russian rabbi called Rabbi Fink, also Rabbi Mizrahi out of New York. He's an Israeli rabbi. Tovia Singer, there's a lot of these different guys that know these things. But there is this belief in Judaism that all the evils that happened to the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years has to be repaid. And they look at America as Esau or Rome or the Christendom that destroyed the temple in 70 AD. This is why Israel will not commit troops to the ground in Iran if we're going to do a ground invasion. The point is to send us into a bloodbath.
No, I would agree with that. And I did a video, gosh, about 2 weeks ago now, The War We're Supposed to Lose. And I didn't cover the scenario quite in the order that you presented it, but a lot of the elements are in that video because I just said, we're getting into a situation we can't win. This is far worse potentially than Vietnam was to us. And I went through the reasons. We've talked 92 million people, tough terrain, determined enemy, well-armed enemy, unlike what we found in Vietnam. So, Stephen, when we look at this, this is a disaster waiting to happen. Okay, Trump has alienated Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, two of his biggest supporters. Tucker was on stage with Trump through the whole campaign. Okay. Why is Trump being pulled into a war that's so destructive to America?
That would be the biggest conjecture I would ever have to say, because there's no way to prove it. But according to the intelligence that I get from the Middle East, I'll say this in a delicate way, because I have no way to prove it, Dave. I really don't. I mean, it was shocking to me, but I mean, at the same time, I could see where there's could be a lot of proof of this. But I was told that when Netanyahu last met with Trump, Pete Hegseth and J.D. Vance were in the room. They were all four of the men were there together. And Netanyahu wanted to show Trump something very graphic, allegedly related to the massacre of the civilians. But according to what this was stated, it was too much. He thought J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth shouldn't be there. Two veterans, right? They shouldn't be there. And we already know J.D. Vance was on the fence about Iran to begin with. So if you really got something so graphic that it could help justify a war with Iran, why not have them in the room? But allegedly, they were dismissed from the room and the video was played, but it wasn't anything to do with
It's
anything
incriminating
Iran.
to Trump. Is that what you're saying?
That's
Yeah,
exactly.
I've been told exactly the same story with the same detail you just gave. And
Well,
the source is military,
yes. So
not
the
intel.
Iranians know it. They know it. And they even know what it was. I won't go down that just for the sake of, there's no way to prove that. But I'm sure people can just only imagine, you know. And what do you do? But you know, Dave, the thing is, I look at it like this. Trump is, what is he, 80, 81? Something like that. You know, at this time in life, to sit there and risk so many American lives, isn't there a time where you just simply say, you know, well, you know, no, I'm not going to go to war. I'm not going to sacrifice American lives. And if there is information that they could use against him like that, you know, be it true or not, the point is I would just simply say, you know, oh, well, then you'll be the one bombed into oblivion then. So, I mean, it's terrible, but this is something that I was always told by one of my DC insiders was that Israel has worked very diligently to get dirt on American politicians so that they can control them. But not only did Israel do it, China did it. China back went to the drug lords in the middle, in sorry, Central and South America, offered them huge amounts of money, not that they needed it, just for the dirt on what politicians they knew were inside on getting kickbacks. Dave, I have held this video for years where I did it at a meeting in Oregon where I exposed a lot of the things that I knew about from the CIA. I finally put it on Patreon. I don't know how long I'll keep it there, but you know, I knew in the state of Florida alone, 35 politicians would go down if they exposed the money laundering that was going on.
Yeah, you're getting into
Power, power companies were
you're
involved.
getting into the reason for the firing of Pam Bondi, as I have discovered in the last I'd say 12 to 14 hours. I got the list, it's on my desk, and then you can't release this. Then she goes before Congress, and her business dealings with Epstein get revealed by Dan Goldman with six documents. And a lot of people don't want to recognize this, folks. I saw it on C-SPAN. It's real. Now, here's where this goes. She is technically the president's lawyer. She's saving her own skin. She could have invoked client attorney privilege and said, "I'm not answering your questions." And that's what Merrick Garland would have done with Biden. She didn't do that. She brought her own lawyer, not White House counsel. And I knew right then she was jumping ship to save herself. Now, I don't think she's involved in nefarious Epstein, but clearly she was getting money that was going offshore. That was proven by the. Have you seen this? The Goldman documents?
I've not seen the Goldman documents, but I've kind of been following already what they were trying to do to her, yes.
Okay, but there's another element. Here's why she had to go. As they get around with her, because she wasn't done with testimony, as they get around, okay, we've established your business relationship. Now, what do those files say about Epstein and certain Republican politicians? She can't invoke the Fifth Amendment as the Attorney General. If she's fired and called as a private citizen, she can now invoke the Fifth Amendment. That's why she was fired.
They did it intentionally.
Well, Trump is giving her another job. It's not like he's mad at her. You know, he's hiring her to work in the private sector where she can't be subpoenaed as a government employee that can't invoke the Fifth Amendment under testimony in Congress.
Oh boy. Well, you know, Trump's not that smart as somebody else giving that information to do.
Well, I guarantee you,
Everywhere you go is a loophole.
Rubio and Todd Blanche, I guarantee, told Trump to do this. Absolutely. Let me ask you this question. I have an intel source, and I got to be very, very vague because he's paranoid. And he's not the only one telling me this, but he's the most knowledgeable person that's told me this. Netanyahu, he says, is dead. And I've kind of been rejecting this. And I said to him, "Do you think it's the reason that they if he's not dead," I said, "do you think maybe that's why they did bad AI with six digits and that kind of thing to make the Israeli people pissed off that he could be dead to stay in an unpopular war?" And he said, "Dave, if I didn't know better, I'd say that's the logical conclusion. but he said he's dead. What do you think?
When I first heard about all this, I went down both sides of the information that I knew. I got cussed out by one because they're Mossad, and they're really angry at me and stuff, but I knew that they knew him personally. And which is a whole nother issue too of why we're going to war and why they want to collapse the US dollar from this war. One of the people I know deals a lot with the Israeli economic system. And this family here said that he was severely injured, most likely in a coma. That's what they told me. The Iranian side said they knew they bombed the bunker where he was at, but they thought he survived. They did not think they killed him. And then, of course, we saw the AI videos. The question is now, are they just using a double? Some people are claiming that they're using a double. That's not uncommon because there are doubles that they have for that very purpose. So there is a possibility because ultimately Israel still needs to bring the US down. Now, let me back up to the family that knows him. When Trump went out of office last time around, that family lost a lot of family members in the French rail car crash over in France that killed this Israeli family. That was a Mossad family. The old man in there was the very, what they called the grandfather of Mossad. He's the very guy I spoke to when Trump went out of office, and they asked me, what can you find out? From the Israelis, why did they not want him to get back in office? That man was the very man that told me, said that Trump, who gives a shit? We'll give somebody else. We'll use Biden the same way we did him. We don't need Trump. We can do with whoever we want to. Then he ends up dead. The family knew that that was a hit. The friend of mine, it was his daughter, son-in-law. His father-in-law, which was the older man there, his wife. The only survivor of that was his grandson. Then they got into a huge legal battle. Now, fast forward a little bit, though. After all this kind of calms down, I find out that Israel is ditching the US dollar and they are already in secret negotiations to join BRICS.
Oh, this is new to me. How new is this to you?
So I've known this now for, I guess, about 4 years.
Oh my gosh, it's been a well-kept secret, but I tell you what, it makes sense.
Yeah. So they've been dumping dollars. They've decided to go into BRICS. By the way, this is the reason why Iran war. And it's funny because I had on Chuck Baldwin the other day, and I've known Chuck for a long, long number of years. We're going way back when he was still a Zionist. I knew Chuck, and Chuck said, "You know, Steve, when they throw the U.S. out of the Middle East," which I told him, I said, "I've known they're going to do that. I've known it for 4 or 5 years. They're going to do that." He said, "What will that do to our economy?" And in his opinion, it will totally destroy the U.S. economy. He says, because we force all the Arab nations to trade their oil in U.S. dollars. You take us out, he said, Iran, and this is from my Iranian source, he said, Iran will demand that the U.S. leave and never return. The Arab nations now will depend upon Iran for safety and security. The U.S. petrodollar will cease to exist. China already has troops in Syria. They've already got bases and outposts in Syria and Iraq both, because Israel said they would use them for their security. That's from my Israeli sources. And that's going back quite a few years now that I've been hearing this information. I hear they get their butt kicked a lot because they're not used to that type of fighting when they get into it, but still, nonetheless, they're there. Now, so they bring down the US dollar. As Chuck Baldwin said, he said all the Zionist pastors will have to really figure out what they're going to do with all these books they wrote that didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen. The Israelis want to see Israel heavily destroyed. That's Talmudic prophecy. because out of that, that's what brings their Messiah, and that's what
Oh my
gives them the
gosh.
golden age.
That's like the mullahs and bringing on the Mahdi by forcing the final Armageddon. The same belief system.
Yes. So the whole battle that they're doing is all strategically planned. Now, I actually ran across something about a little over a year ago. In Daniel 7:25, that's an Aramaic writings there, and I can read Aramaic as well as Hebrew. And I'm sitting there reading where it, and this has so been taught. Oh, it's the Catholics. It's nothing to do with the Catholics. When it says he will change the times and the law, it's not the word law. It's not Torah is the word law in Hebrew. In Aramaic, they used a Persian word, and it means decree. So the thing is they would think that they could change the time of the decree, and the decree that was given with Cyrus to rebuild the temple back in 2,500 years ago, roughly, right? So I made this video about it, and I said, somewhere along the way, somebody's going to come along and they're going to want the Iranian people to be a part of rebuilding the third temple. The Sanhedrin comes out back in January 16th on Israel 365, an open letter to the Iranian people to when you overthrow your government and you take control. They cited that very part of Daniel that you are called to rebuild the third temple on the Temple Mount as Cyrus once decreed to the people. And I'm sitting there looking at this, that they're going to think they can change the time of the decree. And so now I've actually got the evidence where they're calling on it. And they told them they have to embrace the Noahide laws. Noahide laws are going to be a global governance. Everybody's worried about like Sharia law, for example.
Oh.
You don't need Sharia law if you got Noahide laws. They have the exact same capital punishment. But there's no need of a jury in Noahide laws. The only way they could ever get Noahide laws in America, for example, besides, they're doing it as a, they've been calling it the bedrock of civilization, they're calling it moral code, things like that, is if they bring this nation down, we go into martial law and we come under maybe an international law instead. In the Sanhedrin, this back in December, asked Trump to push that the Noahide laws would become a, they asked him to make it an international mandate. But yet, it's not just this is going on all over the world where
Steve, I've got
governments have
it.
already embraced it. Countries have already accepted the Noahide system as a way of governance.
Yeah, I've got. I want to tell you what I've been told because this is scary, scary stuff. I've had this discussion with a couple of people who are extremely knowledgeable, but they demand anonymity. But you're confirming what they're telling me. This war is designed to bring down America. I addressed that in that one video I mentioned earlier. And I agree with that. However, we also get into other issues here now that Judaism is being used illegitimately. You know, the faith of the Israeli people in mass is being used illegitimately to become the dominant world religion, but not in the form that Jewish people would think. And it's going to be used as a global governance concept. And here's what scares me. Okay, and I don't want to go too conspiratorial. But from this FARA document that I've aired, it's a public document, foreign agent registration of my faith through works, and it's Israeli, okay? And it's masquerading as Christian, but they're honest in the document, and we're from Israel, okay? TPUSA is in this, and they're participating in the geofencing of all major churches in the Western United States. And this is a government document. I've covered this. I showed the document on air. It scares me that Christians are being surveilled as a group. Should I be concerned?
I think it's very noteworthy to be concerned. And, Dave, some of the biggest voices in exposing what's going on are Jewish people.
I know that. I've had
They
rabbis
know.
contact me and say, don't stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had American rabbis tell me, don't stop what you're doing. I've had Jewish people. Dave, we're right there with you. We don't want this war. We want a strong America, and this is a war that's going to kill your country. I've heard this from Jewish people.
Yes,
and some
that's
of them are
exactly
prominent.
because they know better. It's just like Carrie Prejean Bowler when she was going on this religious committee that that they had set up,
What a joke.
and she was trying to get she had a multitude of Orthodox rabbis that she wanted to have on as witnesses that were totally against the Zionist movement. But who do they want predominantly on there is the Zionist side of it. There are so many Orthodox Jews that are against Zionism, it's not funny. They don't believe in it the way that the secular Israel has done that. And people don't realize, Dave, even like, for example, my wife did on her Substack, she writes under her maiden name, Satova, Yana Satova, but she wrote a piece not long ago when they overturned Roe versus Wade. She said, I've always been against abortion. She's a nurse midwife, by trade. And she says, I've been very pro-life my entire life. She says, but when I saw how they overturned it, she said it should terrify every American. Cited in the brief before the United States Supreme Court was the Noahide law on abortion. But what they don't cite in there is the full part of the Noahide law on it. The Noahide law under abortion is that the woman that aborts her child is to be put to death. But if it's a Jewish woman, she's allowed to abort the child up to the last gestation and even 40 days after birth. That's the part they don't tell you.
I hear
don't
you.
Have it on this book, but I still got Tennessee, but I have the entire Cincinnati Talmud. I have all those books. I mean, I was Jewish. I have Zohar, Talmud, Shulchan Aruch. The Tanya, everything a good Jewish boy is supposed to have, I have.
I have to tell you, God put some things in my path. When Obama, and I'm going to go back to a point you just made, Obama and John Kerry entered us into an illegal treaty without Senate approval in 2016 before Obama left office. This wasn't his lame duck period. He signed something that became euphemistically known as the Kigali Principles in honor of the Kigali massacres that took place with the Houthis and so forth. Now, that having been said, it was 28 nations at the time, and we got signed into this that a threat upon one nation, it's like a NATO agreement, is a threat upon all nations, and the UN collectively could put together 27 other nations and come to your rescue. Let's play out what you're saying here. If we go into the civil disobedient slash revolution that I think we could be headed towards if we proceed down the path we established earlier with the escalation of the war and there's a draft, there's going to be trouble in the streets. Here comes the Kigali principles. America's an insurrection, and then we get occupied by the UN. And right now, since we have an administration that's not loyal to America, it's loyal to a foreign nation, I can see them going along with this without resistance.
Oh, yes.
Are you familiar with the Kigali principles?
Yes, and I've already been told that when that does happen, they'll put Chinese troops on our streets.
Well, if you go to the FEMA camp document, field manual, it's an army manual, field manual 39.4, they cover every aspect of a FEMA camp. But they originally state, and I'm paraphrasing now because it's been years since I've read it, that Americans would initially guard the camp, but eventually be turned over to foreigners. And I thought, oh, that's because foreigners will do things to Americans that Americans might not.
Exactly. But we're starting to see it's just the opposite. I mean, you can see with even our police in America, it's really becoming, it's sad. I can't believe that I'm seeing some of the things that I'm witnessing. Of course, there's a lot of good police out there, but some of the things that are going on are just like where, I mean, well, we know where it's taught. It's, police are committing forces to train in Israel along with Israelis inside West Bank in Gaza before Gaza got blown to smithereens, and so, yeah, what we're going to witness here is going to be horrendous. And I think that has a lot to do too, Dave, with different programs, whether it be from COVID, et cetera, and everything, is to program the people, to program the minds In fact, I'm doing this one message here coming up pretty soon. I've touched on it before, and people think about, well, they got to have a third temple in order for the devil to go sit in. The Antichrist is going to sit in. I'm like, the devil ain't stupid. He knows that God said that you are the temple. I said, your mind is where he's wanting to dominate. And
That's
I
true.
said, that's what they're getting control of is your mind. And
You're
you know,
opening an angle to something that this is why when Charlie Kirk was killed, and I found out that Charlie had gone on Patrick Ben David, and I've seen the interview where he accused Netanyahu of slow walking the rescue, took 6 hours when it should have taken 3 minutes on October 7th, and then he went on to say Netanyahu's committing genocide in Gaza. Charlie said that. And we know now, and I've talked to TPUSA insiders that are scared of their shadow because they don't want to end up like Jeff Webb. But they are telling me the same kind of things, that Charlie was moving away. We know he ordered the audit. Erica reversed the audit. We know that in June they had the discipline meeting between the Zionist donors and Charlie, and they threatened him. And he even told some people that I've talked to, "I think I'm in danger." Yeah, those are the exact words he used. "I think I'm in danger," and he said, "But I'm not stopping." He enlisted Tucker Carlson to help him. This is what I've been told, not from Tucker's side, but from Charlie's side that worked with him at TPUSA. Then you get into Erica Kirk. Has totally, Charlie was pivoting away from blinded support for Netanyahu, and he was moving away. And Erica's gone the opposite. She's expressed more grief in public over perceived anti-Semitism, in other words, disagreeing with the Israeli government, than she's displayed towards the loss of her husband. I'm sorry, but that's how I see it.
yeah,
Do you agree with that?
absolutely, 100%. Dave, look, you know my own family background better than most people do, and I sent a message one day, a private message. A friend of mine knows Candace, has a little bit closer contacts with him. So I said, look, I need to make a video. I said, can you get it to her? I said, I'll make it as short and brief as I can. I said, and I don't know how much of this is true. I said, but according to Mossad people, her security detail is compromised. And I said, and she's either going to commit suicide or, and I won't go into all the other details that I said in there. And I said, but I don't even know. I said, maybe she has a security company or something. He didn't even know that information. So I make the video very short, to the point. And I let her know. I said, you got a couple of things that you're fighting against. One, Tennessee, corrupt state of America. I said, two, I said, that's where we were first threatened to shut up by two Israelis that spoke fluent Hebrew and get back on track, or things are not going to go so well for us. Then I said, my family was hit as well in that very state. I said, they will cover it up. They're very good at it. I said, secondly, I said, I worked, I know what it's like. I've been involved in staging the scenes. We'll just put it like that. But I said, your detail is compromised. I don't know what that means. I said, but whoever I know knows that detail is comp your detail is compromised and da 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 da. I get a message back from her saying, thank you for sending that to me. Not long after that, somebody that doesn't even know that that happened said, Candace got rid of her entire security detail. I said, I didn't even know she had one,
I heard that too.
technically. And said, but she did, and said she was sorry, but she had credible information that this was a risk. So I'm glad at least that she heeded that. The other thing, though, Dave, that really concerns me, like in the case of all of them, whether it be Candace, Tucker, I have so much appreciation for their courage. And especially because they're taking on biblical aspects of this that they don't even really know how to defend themselves. And I wish I was in the room with Tucker that day just so I could pull his ear and tell him this, tell him that when he was dealing with Mike Huckabee. Because this whole coming out of Zionism is where I've been working on my last book here that I've been putting together. But this whole thing about those that bless Israel, God will bless; those that curse Israel, God will curse. I'm like, you don't have to know Hebrew to know it doesn't say that. It's to Abraham and his wife alone. And why? Because God was protecting the promised seed. He began the family, chose the family that the woman seed of Genesis was going to come through. So he tells him, whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless, but whoever curses you, in other words, whoever interrupts the cycle of life that I'm bringing through your wife, eventually, that person will be cursed. That happened to Pharaoh. 3 years, according to the Dead Sea Scroll Genesis, this man was, his whole family could not sexually do anything for 3 years until he returned his wife. Amalek was the next one. Then it skips down. But what happens when you get all the way down to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Moses says to Israel, whoever, he said, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. He said, choose life that you and your seed may live. But they didn't. They chose death. They chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. Now, God still had mercy on the day of Pentecost, saved 3,000. But watch this, though, Dave. Here's what's so ironic about this. If you're trying to apply, if you bless Israel, God's going to bless you to Daniel, excuse me, Genesis 12:3, which he doesn't say that. He says to Abram, whoever blesses you, I'll bless, singular, and whoever curses you, singular, I'll curse. But if you want to apply it to Israel as a whole, why did Moses just flip it and tell Israel, you can also take a curse yourself?
Yes.
And he prophesied they would take the curse. And he also prophesied that they would cannibalize their own kids and that every stone would be thrown down, just like Jesus said about the temple.
That was Moloch's influence, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was well, Moloch got started even going back to the times of the house of Israel, and that's why they got dispersed. But ultimately, the house of Israel comes back in, and that's another thing too, Dave. The modern Jewish people today say that God never fulfilled his promise. We're supposed to have from the Nile to the Euphrates. He did fulfill the promise. On the day of Pentecost, that house of Israel, it came in from 15 different nations. Those nations were in between the Nile and the Euphrates. And when they received the Holy Spirit and they took that back to their countries, now, because God promised that to his seed, the seed was Jesus Christ. Now the seed was between the Nile and the Euphrates, all believing, and then that's when they began to evangelize the entire Gentile world.
But Stephen, it's not the way it's being presented because Huckabee was, our duty is to bend the knee to Israel, period, or you're anti-Semitic and you're not Christian. And you just confirmed it, okay? It's Genesis 12, verse 3 is not the covenant. The covenant is Jesus had to send, or Jesus was sent here to save us from the fact that the Israeli people couldn't overcome Moloch, Asherah, and Baal. The same forces are against us today. I'm not putting
Exactly.
the ancient Israelis down whatsoever. It's the same thing today, but we have the hope of Jesus now, and that was what God sent to save humanity.
Exactly.
And there's no such thing as you have to bend the knee to Israel. But you see, they're bastardizing the Christian religion to fit their political whim.
Yes. And then
Yeah,
when they talk about
they're so
replacement
right.
theology, when they go into this replacement theology, the Jewish people, and look, I'm Jewish. I used to know the same theology, right? It's like, oh, you can't replace the Jewish people. Look, did people forget that there were no lost tribes in Jesus's day? They were scattered, yes, but Jesus said, I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. On the day of Pentecost, 120 represented the house of.
All right. Tell people how they can follow you real quick.
I think the easiest thing right now would be my Substack. I do everything on there. I post it for free. I think it converts to paid sometimes, but I try to still convert it back. Just my name, Substack.com at Stephen Bennun, Bennun. I say that, Dave, because I'm trying to help people to unravel the theology
No,
mess.
you are, and that's why I have you on, and you're a great truth detector. It's been great having you on. I'm going to
Thank you,
send you
Dave.
something later today about possible times. We're going through some construction in our house, so I'm kind of limited on the hours I have available this week, but I want to get you on sooner rather than later. Stephen, it's a pleasure having you on. Make sure you follow him, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.